Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This defendant believed he had a right beyond the ordinary. When he had a chance at what he considered his rightful destiny, he made sure that no person, no law could stand in his way.
Don't be distracted by speculation. Don't be distracted by guesses, assumptions or hunches. It all comes down to facts and evidence.
It is part two of the Lori Vallow Daybell and Chad Daybell case, the extremist couple who skyrocketed to notoriety when two children were reported missing and later found dead. Lori Vallow Daybell faced trial, was convicted, sentenced to prison, but will her husband Chad Daybell meet the same fate? We're dissecting opening statements and what we can expect during Daybell's trial over the next 10 weeks. Welcome to Sidebar, presented by Law and Crime. I'm Jesse Weber. It was a strange love story that became a missing persons case that then became three homicides. Idaho prosecutors charged Chad Daybell and his wife Lori Vallow Daybell with the deaths of Lori's children, 7-year-old J.J. Vallow and 16-year-old Tylee Ryan, as well as Chad's deceased wife, 49-year-old Tammy Daybell. Now, the children's bodies, they were found buried on Chad's property on June 9th, 2020, more than 6 months after they were reported missing. And during that time, Lori and Chad, they refused to tell family members or authorities where the children were. As for Tammy, it was believed at first that she had died in her sleep from natural causes, but upon further investigation and a second autopsy, it was determined that she had been murdered, saying that she died by asphyxiation at the hands of another. Chad is actually charged with her first-degree murder. Now, there was always speculation, and the evidence suggests that Lori's brother, Alex Cox, was the person who helped carry out the actual killings of the kids. In fact, there is a photograph of him at Yellowstone National Park with Tylee and JJ on September 8th, 2019, right before when investigators say the kids were killed. It's actually believed that he may have deposited their bodies on Chad's property the next day. After all, we heard evidence that Cox's phone was near the Daybell property on that day. But here's the thing about Alex Cox. He isn't around to defend himself. No, he died from a blood clot. So Lori and Chad, they were each charged with several counts, including first-degree murder and conspiracy to commit first-degree murder. A judge determined that the two cases would be severed. They would be separated. Lori's trial happened first back in April and May of last year. Prosecutors argued that Lori participated in the murders for several reasons. First, that she wanted to live a free life with Chad. Two, for financial gain, because she would collect her children's Social Security benefits while Chad collected life insurance benefits on Tammy's death. And three, and this is the really big one, that she and Chad felt justified through their extreme religious beliefs that there were dark spirits out there. Yeah, that people could be identified as good or evil and that the kids were possessed and you have to get those demons out. Yeah, let me amplify that for a minute. So our understanding is Chad worked in cemeteries for years and then became an author, writing about the apocalypse and doomsday, these religious-themed narratives. So Chad and Lori, they end up meeting in 2018 at a conference and later came to believe that they had been married in a past life. They had an affair. And tying in with this idea that they wanted to live a full, free life, one of the most devastating pieces of evidence is that just 2 weeks after Tammy Daybell dies and while the kids are missing, Lori and Chad are in Hawaii. Yes, they get married. Pictures of them on the beach, happy, smiling. Isn't that so nice? The woman that he had been married to since 1990 dies and he's frolicking around. Definitely didn't help Lori Vallow Daybell in her case. I can't imagine that's going to help Chad Daybell in his. And while she was awaiting trial, Another piece of evidence was that Lori's jailhouse phone calls were recorded, and her only living son, Colby Ryan, calls her after the kids' bodies are found, and he's pleading with her for answers and an explanation, and at one point she actually laughs. She laughs at him. According to Lori's own text messages, she believed that her children were demons that needed to be destroyed. A jury ultimately found Lori guilty on all counts, including murdering her own children, as well as conspiring to murder J.J. Tiley and Tammy.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
During her sentencing hearing, Lori made a statement, but really didn't show much remorse.
I have had many communications with Jesus Christ, the Savior of this world, and our heavenly parents. I have had many angelic visitors have come and communicated with me and even manifested themselves to me. Because of these communications, I know for a fact that my children are happy and busy in the spirit world. Because of my communications with my friend Tammy Daybell, I know that she is also very happy and extremely busy. I have always mourned the loss of my loved ones, and I have lost many in this mortal world. However, I know them more than most people. I know where they are now and what they're doing. I know how wonderful heaven is, and I'm homesick for it every single day. I know we all lived in heaven before we were born on earth, and we were all adult spirits in the heavenly realm. We chose to come to earth as mortals. Heaven is more wonderful than you can possibly imagine. I do not fear death, but I look forward to it.
Judge Stephen Boyce sentenced Lori Vallow Daybell to life in prison for each of the murder and conspiracy charges to be served consecutively. So now, nearly a year later, it is time for Chad to once again step into the spotlight. The now 55-year-old has entered a not guilty plea, and unlike his wife's trial, the death penalty is on the table for him. So this is going to be a longer trial, a more complicated task for this jury if they ultimately convict him. But let's talk about the beginning of the case. So on Monday, after a few days of jury selection, Chad's trial finally got underway, beginning with opening statements. Opening statements, so important in a case. They lay the groundwork for what's to come. I know they're not evidence, but they can definitely persuade jurors one way or another. So the prosecution, which has the burden of proof, they went first, and Rob Wood, the prosecutor, laid out these chilling accusations against Chad Daybell.
Ma'am, procedure. Yes, sir. Two dead children buried in the defendant Chad Daybell's backyard in September of 2019. The next month, his wife is found dead in their marital bed. 17 days after the death of his wife, Tammy Daybell, this defendant is photographed laughing and dancing on a beach in Hawaii at his wedding to Lori Vallow, a woman who was his mistress and the mother of the children buried in the graves on his property. Three dead bodies. This defendant believed he had a right beyond the ordinary. When he had a chance at what he considered his rightful destiny, he made sure that no person or no law would stand in his way. His desire for sex, money, and power led him to pursue those ambitions. And this pursuit led to the deaths of his wife and Lori's two innocent children.
Now, in my legal opinion, great way to lay out an opening statement. You tell the jury the most important series of events right at the outset, what this case is about. And from there, prosecutor Rob Wood does something very interesting. He kind of plays in the idea of Chad as an author in relation to this wild story that is the case.
Chad Daybell is an author who wrote books about the apocalypse. During this trial, you will hear a story more troubling, and the story is real. Chapter 1. The defendant was a seemingly ordinary man. You'll see that he craved significance. He worked in journalism, and he worked as a sexton in a graveyard. He married his wife, Tammy, in 1990 after meeting at Brigham Young University, and they settled in Utah. As a full-time homemaker and mother, Tammy's love for her family was boundless. Together, Tammy and the defendant started a small publishing company, which Tammy supported in many ways. They had five children together. They moved to Idaho, where Tammy became a beloved school librarian. She was devoted to service, her community, and her faith. But for this defendant, that ordinary existence was not enough. Chapter 2. Lori Vallow was a homemaker from Arizona. She was married to her fourth husband, Charles Vallow, and she was the mother to Tylee Ryan and J.J. Vallow. Tylee was a normal, vibrant teenage girl. She loved her friends. You'll hear that she loved her Jeep. She loved Chipotle. She loved her little brother, J.J. J.J. was a seven-year-old boy on the autism spectrum. He required extensive special care needs. He loved his sister. You'll hear about a pivotal date that set in motion the deaths of Tammy, Tylee, and J.J. October 26, 2018. That was a day when Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow met at a religious conference in St. George, Utah, where they were introduced by a mutual acquaintance. At this time, both still married to other spouses. That introduction set in motion the reality you're going to hear about.
So that theme of chapters, that Chad is an author, well, let's break this story down into chapters. And at the same time, he's showing JJ and Tylee, these two innocent children, humanizing these victims for the jury. And from there, Wood talked about Lori and Chad's extreme beliefs, which again was a purported motive to kill.
Chapter 3. You'll hear that in the world that Chad and Lori planned for themselves, they identified those who stood in the way of their dream as dark. Their spouses, Lori's own children, and any who opposed them were labeled sometimes as dark spirits or even zombies. This was more than an alleged belief of frightening labor. The evidence will show that it was a convenient narrative that dehumanized people who stood in their way and who were labeled as obstacles. This narrative gave them the pretext to remove people from this world for their own good.
Prosecutor Wood tells the jury that he plans to present evidence like forensics, DNA, messages, recordings, and more.
Members of the jury, days or probably weeks from now, when the evidence in this trial is fully unfolded, we will have the opportunity to speak with you again. And at that time, we will ask you to end this horrible narrative. Your verdict will be the link that writes the final chapter of this tragic saga, a chapter that delivers justice for Tammy, justice for JJ, and justice for Tyler.
Whenever I think about this case, it just always reminds me of you have to be careful about who you're letting into your life. You have to know who you're surrounding yourself with, right? Well, that is why I want to call out our great sponsor here on Sidebar, TruthFinder.com. This is a service that can provide actual safety for you guys. Why do I say that? Because TruthFinder is one of the largest public record search services in the whole world. Their goal is to help people like you learn what's going on with the people in their lives. Here's how it works. You go on their website, truthfinder.com, and you type in a name, any name. Make it simple. You can type in my name, Jesse Weber, 1B. Don't make the mistake. Who has two Bs? Anyway, you type in my name, and within minutes, you get access to reports that include information like phone numbers, addresses, associates, previous arrests, criminal convictions. No, I don't have any of those. But you know what's really useful is if you type in an address, let's say your home address, or let's say you're about to move somewhere, you type in that address and it tells you the registered sex offenders that may live in that area too. That's the point. Unless you use TruthFinder, you may never know the reality about the people around you. And think about it. Let's say you make a new friend or you're about to start dating someone. Maybe you're about to buy something from someone online. TruthFinder is the way to find out what these people are about before letting them into your life. And I also think it's a great resource to use to reconnect with maybe long-lost friends or family members because TruthFinder can help you track those people down, track down their information. And right now, you can get 50% off of confidential background reports. You just go to truthfinder.com/LCSidebar. 50% off. Hope you check it out. And after a short break, Chad's defense attorney, John Pryor, delivered his opening statement. Now, remember, despite all of this, despite what we heard in Lori's case, despite what we've read in the media, he is innocent until proven guilty. The prosecution still has their burden, still has to prove their case. But what is the defense for Chad Daybell? Well, listen very carefully to who he puts the blame on.
So I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about my view of the case and the facts and evidence. And what's important are facts and evidence. I think that when we went through the jury selection process, we talked about facts and we talked about evidence. And the judge gave you an instruction to talk to you a little bit about you take into consideration the facts of this case and not be distracted by other things. Don't be distracted by speculation. Don't be distracted by guesses or assumptions or hunches. It all comes down to facts and evidence. In about October of 2018, Chad was going out and he was invited by one of the witnesses that you'll hear in this case to speak about his books. And this was not uncommon. He would travel and he would be asked to say, well, come and talk about some of the things that you you believe in. You've talked about these premonitions, some life experiences. You're going to hear testimony about that. And he was invited on one particular occasion in late October. And he attended this. And while he was there trying to sell his books, and like most of us who are business people, the focus of these meetings really was for Chad to try to get his books published because that's how he made a living. And he was there in one of his booths trying to promote his books. And he laid them out there. And this beautifully stunning woman named Lori Vallow comes up. And she starts giving him a lot of attention. And she pursued him. And she encouraged him. And you'll hear testimony that she went so far as to grab behind the booth and sort of help him in trying to sell some of his books. She obviously had an interest, and maybe she felt that he was this publisher, or maybe she had an opinion. You'll hear testimony about that.
You see what he's doing here? You see what John Pryor's doing? Lori is the one who pursued Chad. She is in the driver's seat. She is the manipulative one. But it wasn't just Lori that Chad threw the blame on or seems to throw the blame on, but also her brother Alex Cox, again, the guy who's dead. Pryor says Alex Cox would do anything for his sister, that he was the protector, that if there was a problem for Lori, Alex would come running to the rescue. And it is so interesting because both the prosecution and the defense are basically arguing that Alex Cox was involved, that he was probably the one who physically carried out these crimes, but they disagree on Chad's involvement. And speaking of that, how can Chad argue away that the kids' bodies were found on his property? Take a listen.
After that, things started rolling, issues started happening, but eventually, yes, there was a murder and there was a burial. And you've heard discussion about the backyard of Chad Dagon. Well, we have a 4.5-acre farm in Fremont County, Idaho. And you'll hear testimony that the body of J.J. Vallow was discovered behind an irrigation pond and a tree out in the pasture. So technically, yes, maybe the backyard, but more accurately described as the pasture, hidden behind a tree. You're going to hear testimony that also in the middle of this pasture was a raspberry patch, former raspberry patch, that was then turned into a place for them to bury the cats, the dogs, and all of the animals on the farm. Okay. Again, out in the pasture of the field and not the backyard. You'll hear testimony about that.
So it really wasn't his backyard per se, but the pasture? Did he really know what was dumped there? Could it be that Alex Cox deposited the bodies without him knowing? I've seen pictures of the property. It's not huge. So I don't know how much the jury will believe that. But listen, that's, I think, the best way to explain it. A lack of knowledge of what's on your property. I mean, that's the only thing they can argue. Now, Prosecutor Wood, he mentioned DNA in his opening statement. And John Pryor does too, saying that he plans to call a DNA expert who helped apparently get Amanda Knox exonerated during her murder trial in Italy.
Dr. Hampinkian is going to talk about the hair sample that was found on the plastic of Alex Cox and that it was Lori Vallow. Dr. Hampinkian is going to talk about several, and I mean several other hairs that were found on the plastic of J.J. Vallow. But he's also going to say that there was no DNA evidence, no hair sample of Chad Daybell on Tylee Ryan or on J.J. Vallow.
And what about Tammy Daybell, right? Well, this is really interesting because John Pryor says, don't be so quick to assume that she died at the hands of another, that she had a lot of issues.
You're then going to hear from Dr. Raven. Dr. Raven is a forensic pathologist. And she's going to talk a little bit about the circumstances surrounding Tammy Daybell. And what Dr. Raven is going to say is that there's no indication that this is either a homicide or any other crime, and that the only conclusion she could come to is you can't determine what the cause of death was. There's no way to determine it. Tammy Daybell was buried. You'll hear testimony about that. And then a short time later, the police officer showed up and they dug her body up after she'd been buried, after she was laid to rest, and then continued after the body was pulled out of the ground and continued to examine it for whatever they were looking for. And what you're going to find is based on that, Dr. Raven's going to say, you can't determine what the cause of death is. You're going to hear testimony from the Daybell children, from the children themselves, four of the five children, I think, three or four of the five children. They're going to talk about their mother's health struggles. They're going to talk about their mother's use of various medicinal treatments that she would use, oils that she would put on her leg, medicine and different herbs that she would take, and that her mother was suffering from, that their mother was suffering from a number of maladies, and that she would refuse to go see a doctor or get it treated. And Dr. Raven's going to enlighten you a little bit about some of the circumstances regarding Tammy Daybell. You're going to hear a lot of evidence, and the judge has talked to us a little bit about not making a decision until you hear all of the evidence. And there's a specific jury instruction that talks about. The jury instruction is, you know, consider all the evidence. Listen to the instructions from the court on how you're to proceed. Listen to the arguments of the prosecuting attorney and the defense, and then and only then do you make your decision. And at the conclusion of all that evidence, and at the conclusion of the judge's instructions, the arguments of both of the defense attorneys, I'm going to ask you folks to return the verdict not guilty. Thank you, folks. Thank you for your time.
So I will tell you, I think this was a good opening statement by John Pryor, too. I think he argued everything that you have to argue in this case, that it was Alex Cox, that it was Lori Vallow Daybell, that we're not sure what happened to Tammy, that the forensic evidence might not tie back to Chad. This is everything you have to do. We'll see how the case progresses. And again, this is a trial that it's expected to last several weeks. Chad faces the death penalty if he's found guilty. And as for Lori, by the way, she was actually extradited to Arizona to face more charges. Yeah, Lori is charged with two counts of conspiracy to commit murder in connection with the death of her fourth husband, Charles Vallow, who was killed by her brother, Alex Cox. The idea there was that he was acting in self-defense, questionable. And her former nephew-in-law, Brandon Boudreau, who was actually allegedly shot at by Alex Cox. So we will, of course, continue to follow this case for you right here on Sidebar with all the updates. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jesse Weber. I'll speak to you next time. We'll